We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Three scotches isn't enough from what I saw yesterday in Dallas. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff after a super wild card weekend. Still got one game left to go tonight, Perloff.
Yeah, three scotches isn't enough because you were still hungover from Saturday night.
Yes.
And I don't understand. You were watching the game indoors, but you said you needed to drink to stay warm. That was weird.
You know, it's just like what I tell myself when I really need to get through a difficult Bills game. Yes, we will talk about my Buffalo Bills coming up later in the show, but we got to start with the train wreck because that was such a disaster that you just couldn't look away from the end of the 49ers-Cowboys game. And we just got word not too long ago that if you were wondering, Dallas Cowboy fans, what the fate is of your head coach, Mike McCarthy, well, it turns out, things are all good. Can I hear it?
Now, I mean, obviously part of that future, and I don't know what you can say, what you want to say, but are you of the belief or are you confident that Mike McCarthy will continue to lead this team next season?
Absolutely. Very confident.
All right, so that was Stephen Jones on KNC Masterpiece 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And we'll get into all the particulars of that game and just how the dumbest game got even dumber and dumber and dumber until the final seconds, which were the dumbest. But the bottom line is McCarthy's coming back.
Yeah, I don't blame Mike McCarthy. I don't blame Kellen Moore. I don't blame the Cowboys players. I blame you.
Me?
No, this is a universal you. Everybody who bought into the shiny object that is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, that was me.
You know,
I'll raise my hand.
And it wasn't just you, it was everybody. And we do it all the time. Just because they're the most covered team, I feel like we don't have a fair perception of who they really are. They clearly should have been the underdog style-wise to the Niners. You're the more physical team. You don't want to root against the more physical team in the playoffs. The Cowboys, we should have known.
Okay, but the I told you so's can wait for just a moment because there is not just one team that mucked this up at the end. I mean, it wasn't exactly a Picasso getting painted there by the 49ers at the end of the game also. The Jimmy G with the signature interception with 9.5 minutes left to go in the game that everybody could have spotted a mile away. And the fact that, again, so many things had to go wrong here for the 49ers, and they had so many self-inflicted wounds. So, yes, I was somebody who fell for the cheese in the mousetrap with the Dallas Cowboys. I should have known better. It's an undisciplined team, and they were just, all of their flaws were on full display, and then just bonehead move after bonehead move, culminating with the boneheadiest of the bonehead moves and Dak Prescott sneaking. Dak Prescott, we all know now, we've talked about it, you've probably seen it 100 times, on the QB sneak, he's got 14 seconds left and he goes 17 yards. Do you think at any point in his mind he was like, wow, the field's wide open? Like, look at all this space.
Now, Maggie,
I wonder why all this room is here at the final seconds of the game and we have no timeout.
That's not fair. They said they practiced that play. They obviously didn't practice it enough because every single thing that could go wrong during that play.
Yes.
So I read a lot of postscripts on this, and everyone said Dak should have gotten down sooner at like the 35.
Right.
So he'd have plenty of room to throw into the end zone on the next play. But you're right. It's wide open and quarterback instinct. It's tough. 14 seconds. So everyone, all the experts say it takes 17 or 18 seconds to get this play off. They still came within a shade of a second of getting it off.
Okay, but here's the problem. You could have had 25 seconds left to go. Are we sure that that referee, who was motoring, by the way, who literally bounced into Dak Prescott's back, do we think that he would have even gotten the ball set in time? And that guy was hustling, and that wasn't the first time that particular referee got caught up in a play. He had gotten caught up earlier. Dallas couldn't execute like regular plays, let alone something like that. And even when they had the amazing fake punt, which was just like, that really was a thing of beauty.
Very cool.
That was beautiful. But then they try to outsmart themselves on the next play by leaving the punt team out there, trying to get Kyle Shanahan to call a timeout, and they end up getting a delay of game. It was like palm meet head.
Yeah, well, if we're going to break down the little things the Cowboys did wrong, we're going to need more than 3 hours.
That's true.
But, and by the way, you mentioned,
good thing we have 7 months.
The Niners did play a role, but Kyle Shanahan giving up a lead, I mean, that's
pretty par for the course.
But the Cowboys coming in, they really, you're right, they shouldn't have even been that close in the game. What struck me is like all the little things McCarthy did wrong. Like, why is he running Zeke so much, knowing later that Zeke is injured?
Yeah.
Why did they have any game plan for their offensive line, which was outmatched? Connor Williams clearly needed help. Why didn't they stop Deebo Samuel or at least focus on him? There's so many whys at this game that I think you get caught up in the silly little plays that we all enjoyed on Twitter. There's a lot more to answer for here.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We want to hear from you. First of all, knowing Jerry Jones the way that we all have gotten to know Jerry over the last 30 years, Jerry, are you surprised that Mike McCarthy will be safe? At least that's Stephen Jones saying on The Fan earlier today that he believes absolutely Mike McCarthy is coming back. Meanwhile, you have a head coaching candidate who's in your building and who could take over tomorrow. And I'm not talking about Kellen Moore, the mouth breather. I'm talking about Dan Quinn. He's up there in the as their defensive coordinator. He's getting praise, and I understand that Kellen Moore's offense, they scored the most points, they had the highest rating, all of that, these very gaudy stats. But obviously, it didn't mean a whole heck of a lot when you're going into the fourth quarter of a wild card game at home where you're a favorite and you've scored 7 points. So you have the amount of weapons you do, and you've scored 7 points at that particular time. Yes, they scrambled and got it back, and thank you to the Jimmy G interception that got things kind of going here for the Cowboys. But I don't see how, if you have these two coordinators that are getting all these interviews all over the rest of the league, how you would ever think that you would go with Kellen Moore over Dan Quinn.
Well, it's supply and demand. People want Kellen Moore, and it seems like, according to the report by CBS's Jason LaCanfora, that Jerry Jones has a dilemma here. If somebody's going to offer Kellen Moore that he wants Kellen Moore as his next coach, he might have to push McCarthy out the door. But look at Jerry Jones' history. He had Jason Garrett, former mid-level quarterback, backup quarterback. Kellen Moore, backup quarterback. He seems to like offense. I think that's a part of the problem.
He likes backup quarterbacks even more than you.
Yeah, but he likes
it. Tough.
He likes these big offense. He's not going to go defense. He's not going to go Dan Quinn. Also, Dan Quinn, I love Dan Quinn. I think he's great, but he didn't work out in Atlanta. So you could make an argument against him.
Well, they did go to a Super Bowl, but it didn't work out in that particular game.
Yes, and I think that he did not necessarily stand out yesterday. The Cowboys defense was okay, but the Niners controlled the game early. Maybe they don't go either direction. Maybe they stick with McCarthy, but is it a bad thing if somebody hires Kellen Moore away? Say the Jaguars hire Kellen Moore. If you're Dallas, are you sad about that, or are you, Maggie Gray, okay with that?
I mean, after I saw what I saw yesterday, and I don't know if it's necessarily his fault that the Cowboys lost, there's a lot of blame to go around. But I don't see how you could feel good about bringing this crew back.
But the thing is, they were a really good team this year. And if they were in an anonymous city, say they were Cincinnati or Minnesota.
Yeah, but they're not.
Okay, so the hype is what's getting Mike McCarthy in trouble here.
No, I think it's, remember last week, I was on the Cowboys and I was saying, I'm not going to get moved off my spot here. I'm sticking with the Cowboys because I think they're the better team. And you were trying to convince me to come over to the 49ers, right? And you were trying to convince me to come over to the other side. And one of the things you said to me, and I think now we have to even put more credence to it, which is Cowboys played in a terrible division.
Oh, yeah.
Their stats were empty or empty-ish. They just were not as good against good competition. And I didn't weigh that in enough because I was looking and thinking, okay, this is a team that could be peaking around the right time. Even though they're beating teams that are less than they are, Washington football team, Philly, the backups, whatever, they seem to be like really humming and syncing up. This team was totally out of sync yesterday on offense. It was like Dak and his receivers in the first half of the game like had never met each other before.
Yep. Look at their wins. I mean, they beat an Eagles team with all backups. They lost the Cardinals. They beat a Washington team that was a disaster. They beat the Giants 21-6 in New York. How can you only score 21 points on the Giants? You go through this list. Remember they got blown out by Denver? It was right around week 9. That's when you first saw there were problems. Obviously, Prescott coming back off his injury.
Yep.
But we should have seen these problems coming. And if you have any doubts that the NFC East was weak, just look what happened to the Eagles yesterday. They shouldn't have been on the field. I mean, they should not have been a playoff team.
We will get into your Eagles a little bit later on.
My Eagles?
They're your Eagles.
All right, fine. Yes. You get the Bills just scoring. I think they scored another touchdown there. And I get the Eagles. There could not have possibly been a worse showing for me.
Yeah, that one wasn't good. Head coach sounded like an idiot. We'll get into all that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. 4227. Want to hear from you, Dallas Cowboys fans, or for the people who love rooting against the Cowboys, because we know you're out there too. If you want to weigh in on what you saw yesterday in Dallas and the news that Mike McCarthy's job is safe. All right, we wanted to go through some of the particulars from this game, and it was like, I don't know if we want to rank them. Do we want some music here? How sports talk radio do we want to get at this particular time? I'll leave that up to you, fearless producer Mike Samter.
Well, I don't think we want to get into the real particulars, like, you know, the X's and O's. I think we want to get into the so many funny things that happened at this game.
Only the humor. Only the humor.
And there was an abundant amount of that in this game.
Okay, so maybe some music, Stu? Whatever you got there. Give me a second. You take 2 seconds. How about that? Take more seconds than Dak Prescott needed to spike that ball.
Mike is panicking right now, like Mike McCarthy. He's like, basically, he's got 14 seconds to spike the ball.
Man, we're the Dallas Cowboys right now.
Just hum into your mic if you have to. Give us something.
Love it. Beautiful. All right. Ranking the worst moments, funniest moments from yesterday. Had to be number one, the final play. Oh, wait, we're ranking them. No, we should be going backwards. Look who has terrible clock management now.
No, let's go. Well, you already brought it up. Let's start at the top. The final play.
How can I make fun of Mike McCarthy when I can't even run this simple drill?
I think we agree on the funniest part is when the official tried to work his way through the two Cowboys players to get to the ball.
Yes. Those two Cowboys players weigh a combined 650 pounds.
If you'd put that in a Will Ferrell script for a football movie, be like, that's never going to happen.
He bounces off the players.
But you mentioned it before. Why was that official so far behind the play? That's a real issue. He was 40 yards back. He was doing a full dash.
I know. He wasn't even in the shot. You had to go to the all 22 cam, the wide sky cam in Jerry World. About this for one? Oh, no, you have
one. To me, the one that really stood out, the fans crying with 4 minutes left in the game when the game is 100% still in the balance to the point where Tony Romo's like, I don't know why that person's crying. It was multiple. It was a woman and a man both shedding tears. And first of all, you're going against Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G. You should have been laughing, if anything. What are they doing? What are those Dallas fans doing? And why are they crying over a Cowboys loss anyway?
Well, Tony Romo yesterday said lives are on the line. It's like, I don't know, are lives on the line when this game is not only being broadcast by CBS, but Nickelodeon? I hope that lives aren't literally on the line if this game is also being broadcast to children all over the world.
Well, we did see a very severe head injury, and I wonder how Nick Bosa. Nickelodeon didn't spend much time explaining. So what happens is your brain rattles around inside your skull.
And then, you know.
All right, what do you got next?
You got headaches for the rest of your life. I thought one very funny thing that happened yesterday was just the, I don't know if this is poetic justice, but it's a commentary on like American wealth and greed, that's for sure. But the ostentatious Jerry World being an impediment to the Cowboys actually trying to win a playoff game. Like, that couldn't be understated more. And it was the glaring light coming through the $1 billion stadium, just right into the eyes of
the Cowboys receivers.
Cedric Wilson. And he just like couldn't see the pass. And there's just like something very I don't know if it's poetic justice. I don't know if it's something. It's a commentary on America is what it is.
Absolutely. And when that punt hit the Jumbotron, that was even better. Multiple punts hit the Jumbotron. That was great. I'm going to go next.
Yeah.
It wasn't a significant play, but when Cedric Wilson caught the ball and threw a lateral, which might have been forward, and just went right out of bounds, and Romo and Nance and all of America was like, what was that?
That was fantastic. I thought Romo's commentary was spot on. He said, cool looking play. I mean, kind of looks stupid now, but it's like, well, that was well done.
I like laterals, by the way. I'm all for a hook and ladder. There were some good hook and ladders this weekend. The fact that the timing of the game was completely unnecessary and he threw it overhand, it was awesome.
It was something. You know, we've done a lot of bad Cowboys stuff here. The 49ers were not at fault yesterday. They had some really embarrassing moments. And I think you have to say that the 49ers false start on a QB sneak that could have iced the game. Like, that could have been the real bonehead move. We would never be talking about Dak Prescott or any of that stuff if they could have just gotten that play off without a hitch, and they didn't. So now the 49ers get to laugh about it now, but that was beyond dumb.
That was after about 9 minutes to figure out if Deebo Samuel had gotten the first down. And I actually, at that point, I flipped over the Nickelodeon game to see how they were dealing with this. And, you know, the Nickelodeon game is trying to explain to kids. Explain all that to kids, it's impossible. Okay, my next one was fans throwing things at refs after the game.
Tale as old as time.
And then Dak supporting said fans after the game. That's not funny. I mean, I understand some people are super upset about this. Obviously, fans shouldn't throw things after the game. I'm from Philly. It's kind of our thing to start with. But
so that's really why you're upset, is because they're ripping you guys off.
Were you shocked that Dak was like, oh, okay, if you're going to throw at the refs, then those are good fans?
Okay, so I know we have a new audience here, so this is maybe a getting to know Maggie thing. But this is something I like to keep in mind as we watch all types of sports. I try not to really hold what someone says immediately after a crushing defeat against them too much. You know, like, you just had the worst moment of your professional life, right? Or to this date. I know you're rich and famous. I know there's more things to life. I know that. But, like, you just had a crushing loss. I like to give athletes and coaches a little bit of grace in the postgame. Unless you're Joe Judge and you ramble on for 11 minutes and that's basically why you got fired.
You basically said fire Joe Judge after that press conference, although you had seen the crash before.
Yeah, he melted down, though. That was like Chernobyl.
So are you going to stop judging my coach, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles, because of the dumb things he says in press conferences?
He says dumb things pregame, too, though.
Okay. All right, I'm with you. I give Dak a pass. We have all show to talk about these, because there's about five more details, but anything else stand out?
The last one was McCarthy did blame that final call, the QB sneak call, on the analytics.
I couldn't believe that. That was too... That was perfect. That felt scripted. Like, yeah. Blame the analytics. What are you talking about?
Also, wasn't it only 2 years ago when Mike McCarthy got the job that he was going to be like, you know, he's Mr. Reinventing himself.
Studied football for a year.
Went to the PFF headquarters. Yep. Actually, it turns out he lied about all that stuff. Let's flash back 2 years ago when Mike McCarthy got the job in Dallas.
Well, I mean, I need to confess. I mean, I told Jerry I watched every play of the 2019 season, but I wanted the job. So I haven't watched every play of the season, but it was just, I mean, you do what you got to do, right?
Oh, my God. The overcompensating thriller-style laughter coming from Stephen Jones in that clip will never not be funny to me.
Then he did like a low-key one. That was a little
scary.
That's
when they got really nervous.
Did we add that in, or was that actually the sound?
No, that's it. Unadulterated.
Oh, no. Man, good thing we have all show to break this down, because we haven't even gotten into who won the Nickelodeon MVP. Always amuses me. There's so many other little things in this game, but Cowboys are out. What are we going to talk about for the rest of the year here?
We've got plenty. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio and Sirius XM Channel 158. You want to get in touch with the show? It's so easy. On Twitter, at Maggie and Perl, P-E-R-L. You can hit up Andrew Perloff, at Andrew Perloff. I'm at Maggie Gray. And, of course, we're going to be taking your phone calls early and often here. Get on the horn, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Cowboys fans, how you feeling about Mike McCarthy being back in Dallas next year? Let's go.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. I'm Andrew Perloff. She is Maggie Gray. We've been breaking down the Cowboys-Niners game, mostly from the Dallas side, because that's, you know, what everybody does. It's all about the Cowboys.
Well, we still have another week here for the 49ers. Now they're going to Green Bay. We have lots of time to talk about them.
Do we need a week to talk about what's going to happen when San Francisco goes to Green Bay?
Yes.
No, we don't. I'll tell you right now, if Fred Warner and Nick Bosa aren't 100% or 110%, this is going to be a quick trip for San Francisco. When Nick Bosa went out, that defense changed its complexion entirely. I do not think Jimmy G has it in him to win in Green Bay. I'm just going to say that right now. Wow. But I read this quote. It was from Joe Shad. He tweeted out, Jimmy Garoppolo is 33-14 as a starter, 70% win percentage, completes 68% of his passes for 8.4 yards per attempt with a 98.9 passer rating. That's good. And has led the Niners to a Super Bowl. Are they going to regret when they move on? Because it sure looks like they'll move on to Trey Lance next year. You have the what are the cap ramifications if they do decide to move on before this summer?
All right, let's get nerdy. So next year, Jimmy Garoppolo is scheduled to make $24.2 million. However, if they trade him before June 1st, they would only have a dead cap hit of $1.4 million, and they would save $25.6 million against their cap.
Right, and he could be a backup quarterback. There's no way you're going to save $26 million a cap on a backup quarterback. So to me, that says, unless he goes to the Super Bowl here, which I don't see happening, he's gone.
Yep.
So question is, do you agree with Joe Shad that they might regret that, going to Trey Lance, who we only saw a little bit of, looked okay, looked pretty good in the second half against the Texans. Still a lot to be determined there.
It's tough, right? Because Garoppolo had like a good Jimmy game yesterday, right? That's a good Jimmy game. Only one devastating interception
but
that
it's
could have
the
cost them the game, and that false start where Trent Williams didn't get lined up on time and he got overzealous and snapped the ball too fast. But like Garoppolo does make winning plays.
Until the end of the game when he makes a losing play, he did the same play against the Rams. This is more than just two isolated games. He makes mistakes, and he's so inconsistent. We saw him in the first half look great, and then he just wasn't there in the second half.
Well,
that's happened so many times this season.
A couple things happened. So something about the Shanahan offense, the way that they sort of paint this, because, you know, obviously I worked in New York for the last 4 years. When Robert Saleh got hired, there was this idea, and the Jets were kind of saying this, that, you know, basically anybody can run the Shanahan offense, right? Mike LaFleur came in. It's like, this is easy. This is an easy, it's a very quarterback-friendly offense and a very offensive line-friendly offense to run. So kind of painted it like you don't really need a superstar quarterback to really succeed in this offense. Hey, the better quarterback you have, the better you look. But you get what I'm saying, right? It's like, it's just a simplistic sort of offense once you get into it. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo shows that at times. And then at others, like, listen, he is playing with a compromised hand, and sometimes he just makes really bad plays. They also have a focal point, which is the running game. I mean, Deebo Samuel and his ability to run the ball, Elijah Mitchell, like that. Dallas actually was pretty stout yesterday, you know, up front. They have a lot of talent. They were meeting them right at the line of scrimmage. That could have looked a lot worse, and Dallas's defense was, I think, pretty good yesterday in trying to hold them. I don't know if Green Bay is going to have that same kind of success.
Exactly. Like their strength is a run game. Just don't screw it up, Jimmy.
Right.
I don't care about your finger. I'm sick of hearing about it. Then don't play. Put in Trey Lance. Okay. This is you have not seen this yet, but I'm going to give you four teams, and you got to choose who gives up a low first rounder or a second rounder for Jimmy G.
Okay. Tell me.
Washington football team.
In a heartbeat. Wait, what's the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation there?
Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're not going with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Was he just on a one-year deal?
What is he, 40? Is this a serious question?
I don't know. Okay, yeah, keep going.
Okay, Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
You go with Jimmy G?
Over who?
What if you could get Aaron Rodgers?
Well, all right, thanks for that caveat.
Okay, New Orleans Saints, Jimmy G connected to Sean Payton, both Eastern
totally.
Illinois, similar offense. So you wouldn't go back to Jameis, you would rather have Jimmy G? They pick 18th, by the way. So you could give up the number 18 pick for Jimmy G. To me, that sounds kind of realistic.
Kind of realistic, but Jameis has a much better upside. Obviously, his arm is way stronger.
Jameis is another guy who makes mistakes.
Another guy who, in the moment.
You know, I wasn't blown away by Jameis on the Saints this year. It was good, but it wasn't great. Maybe get more out of Jimmy G.
They're both injury-prone guys.
One that you've heard a little bit, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, I think there's going to be maybe a bidding war for Jimmy G.
Oh, so you think they'll get a first-round pick for him?
I definitely do. And Sam Darnold getting a second-round pick, it totally turned everything I ever thought about quarterbacks getting traded on its ear.
But you can't use the Sam Darnold as a metric, as a base on this kind of thing, because no one's ever going to do that trade again. That was a huge mistake. Carson Wentz was a huge mistake.
Yep.
Teams have to learn, right? Or don't they?
No, they definitely don't. And they definitely will not. And we'll get to a little more quarterback news from the weekend, Russell Wilson and others, but Garoppolo could be basically one of the biggest names on the market. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff, and we're taking your phone calls on the Dallas Cowboys specifically, knowing that Mike McCarthy is going to be safe now. How are you feeling, Dallas fans? Let's head out to Derek. He's in Houston. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Derek?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah, not feeling too good. But Jerry Jones knew what he was getting into with Mike McCarthy. He's one of the worst late-game managers or game managers in general. And as you've seen, why he got the boot out of Green Bay and how they've improved since he's gone. And this just seems a disaster. They should have put that game early away, not coming out ready like they did. I mean, I've just seen the writing on the wall. They were 6-0 against the crappy NFC East. Mm-hmm. And if you watch this team on a regular basis, we knew they're not legit title contenders. I think the brand of the Cowboys is actually better than team is. And a true Cowboy fan, it's just we're pretty much stuck in winning the crappy NFC East and losing in the wild card round. They're just not very good. You can't put it all in back. They're sloppy. They've been they're the most penalized team in the league. So it's the same thing they've been doing all year, but they look sexy against bad teams. So they get the casual, you know, followers around the country to believe in them. It's just a disaster. And when Nick Bosa went out, you should have taken advantage. They still couldn't get anything going. The passing team's on. And Dak is just a good quarterback, but I don't think he's elite.
All right,
so
Derek.
You're stuck with him.
Derek, yeah. Did you cry at any point of the fourth quarter?
No, because I knew they were going to lose. Even before the game, I bet on the Niners because I knew this was going to be a terrible matchup and they were going to lose. I expect them to win the crappy NFC East and lose in the first round. This team is not going to snip the Super Bowl. The glory days were 30 years. And Jared is just happy having that shiny toy at AT&T and not winning anything but selling out and having the biggest brand in the league and living off that. And that's about all Cowboy fans are going to be stuck with going forward.
Man, Derek, kaboom. You roasted him. You did a great job because everything you said was right.
Are you okay with Derek's move of betting against your own team? I think this needs to be discussed.
Well, do you want to make money? I mean, he knows the team inside and out. I think what he should be betting now is NFC East futures.
I don't think so.
Because he's right. They win that crappy division year. Well, nobody wins the NFC East year after year. That's what makes it especially crappy. But he's right. Division title, that's where they stop.
Yeah, so this is so typical of you, Maggie.
I know.
You're so Machiavellian, cold-hearted, cynical. You would bet against your own team.
No, not me.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't. But you're okay with Derek doing it?
Yes.
No, I think it's completely wrong. I think it's against the fan handbook. You do not bet against your own team, even if you think they're going to lose.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I want to see you bet against the Bills, unless you think they're going all the way.
Well, I will give you what my Bills take is going to be if they can somehow go into Arrowhead and win that game. Some plans that I have for after that. I don't know if that's actually going against like the superstitious fan handbook. We'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah,
later.
See, Derek had it right. He bet against his team. He hedged all his bets. Yeah, luckily I bet against his team too. I think everybody should have bet against his team.
And look at me. I was here just holding the bag.
I have just as strong an instinct on the Niners-Packers game. Like, I know nobody, everybody, when the Cowboys and Niners were matched up, everybody immediately had opinion that was a nightmare matchup for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I do not see, I don't see any way the Niners win this game or even cover.
Man, we're going to get it more into that in just a little bit. Plus, who had the most impressive win of the weekend, and was it a fluke or a sign of things to come? We get into also more of the weirdness from the weekend, not just the Cowboys 49ers game, but all of the oddities from Super Wild Card Weekend. It's Maggie and Perloff. Time for a CBS Sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right, it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You got to check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Hope you're enjoying your holiday Monday. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to everybody out there. It's Maggie and Perloff with you on CBS Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 158. We're off TV today, but you can see our beautiful faces tomorrow.
Yeah, this is different. Not being on TV, like, I feel freer.
You didn't have to wear the pajamas.
Yeah, well, I am wearing pants, per your request. Although last week you were pitching those boxers with pockets.
Yeah, I know.
I thought about that all weekend. Yeah. So,
are you ready to invest with me?
I'm totally ready to invest. So I want to know, what's the setup on Saturday night? Coldest game in Buffalo history.
Yeah.
Like, are you, you know, do you wear certain things? You have sort of idiosyncrasies. You have superstitions. Okay, how do you approach this game?
So this was an amazingly cathartic game for me and people like me who have been rooting for the Bills their whole life. You guys know I'm from the hinterlands of upstate New York, lifelong Bills fan. And for 20 years of my life, Bill Belichick has been kicking my team's ass. It's not even a rivalry, Perloff. Like, you can talk about your Eagles and other Dallas Cowboys and how great it is when you play the Giants and all that stuff. Like, this isn't a rivalry. I saw this in Peter King's column in Football Morning in America, and he said that since 2000, Bill Belichick is 19-3 in Buffalo. That's not a rivalry.
That's
a shellacking.
Good.
Like, yeah, yes, thank
I'm
you.
Surprised that they lost three games, actually.
I was just waiting for you to say something like that. So, yeah, it's hard to remember the ones that they actually beat them. But they should stick out more.
I remember the one where Laurie Malloy switched from the Pats to the Bills.
Yeah.
And the Bills won 31-0. What happened the rest of that season? Like, did the Bills go on to the Super Bowl?
No, but I think the Pats did.
The Pats certainly did. Yeah, everyone's like, you. Oh, they're gonna miss Laurie Malloy. This is time for Drew Bledsoe and the Bills to go all the way.
Yeah,
and,
no, I think that was like a contract dispute, too. I think I don't even think there was like a good reason to even get rid of Laurie Malloy at that point, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, it didn't do a whole lot. Drew Bledsoe coming over to the Bills didn't do a whole lot. But let's not talk about the past. I'm over talking about the past. That's gone. This was cathartic for people like me. You know, you texted me at one point during the game, you know, like, shouldn't they save some of these touchdowns for the next round? And I said, no, hang 50.
Why, though?
Because Belichick is a terrible winner. So he's the type of guy who will put up 50 on you, and he will never stop. And you know what? It's professional sports. You shouldn't have to, like, you know, pull back, you know, on anyone, and you get what you get, and it's your, you know, you're the ones who have to stop them and blah, 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 right? This isn't youth sports. But Belichick is terrible like that. He constantly runs up the score on teams that are inferior and doesn't think twice on it. And the fact that the Bills got to do that in a playoff game, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns, it was a thing of beauty. And the score could not have gotten high enough for me. This was like an ultimate, you've been waiting your whole life for finally give it back to Belichick. And the Bills had their opportunity, and they didn't look back.
I don't like what I'm hearing.
Why?
Because it's a wild card round. Why are you getting caught up with Bill Belichick in the past?
There's
this
20
is a Super Bowl
history
team.
History there.
That means nothing if they lose to the Chiefs this week.
Well,
that would mean the season is an abject failure. What difference does it make with how much they scored in a wild card game? Josh Allen shouldn't have even been in at the end.
Yeah, but
those points don't roll over, Maggie.
I understand, but yeah, they're not vacation days. I get it. But the thing is there's just so much wrapped up. You know, I don't love it when division rivals play each other in wild card rounds. You know, it's like we're going to have the Rams and Cardinals, and everyone's going to watch, and it's going to be interesting. But I don't necessarily love that.
Right. Like Seahawks and Rams played like 2 weeks in a row last year.
Right.
In last year's playoffs. It's not, you're right. It's not the same.
It's not as sexy, but this one had a lot behind it. And what I also really appreciated about this, if I may for a moment, I appreciated that the players who really have not a lot to do with this is a rather young team. I mean, they've been part of this, you know, Patriots Bills kind of thing for obviously for a couple of years, but they don't have to live like all the really bad stuff, right? The Laurie Malloy stuff. They don't have to relive like Takeo Spikes. They don't live all these guys, Freddie Jackson, like these guys who just constantly got kicked around by Belichick, but still brought it every single week. Like the fan favorites. So I have the Freddie Jackson jersey hanging right behind me, right? Because someone who just never quit, even though the team was going nowhere. Coach after coach, GMs, and they just failed draft picks. It was terrible. The Bills were a terrible team for most of my life. And so for them to finally give it to Belichick, I didn't care if it was a wild card round, whatever. It felt really, really good. That said, now they go to Kansas City.
Yep.
Kansas City was somehow able to avoid a lot of the bullseyes that are usually on the team who just went to the Super Bowl a year ago, that's usually on their back.
Is that because we were criticizing them the first part of the season?
Yeah, I mean, they were up and down. You know, they kind of deserved it, right? At times, the offense didn't look anything like we'd expect the Kansas City Chiefs to look like. At the beginning part of the season, the defense was atrocious. Then the defense was carrying them through the middle part of the season. It was ping-ponging back
and forth. They lost fluke games to Baltimore early in the season. Just a fumble here. Like, two games they lost only because of fumbles. One, there was a Daniel Sorensen hold, and he shouldn't even be on the field. It wasn't like they were struggling that much. Everyone was just ready to jump on them. But you're right. They kind of got back on the Chiefs bandwagon, but not really. And then the loss to Cincinnati, nobody was looking at KC heading into this weekend.
Well, and then on top of it, it was like chapter 10 of the Ben Roethlisberger goodbye. You know, this is like the retirement that would never end. I thought Favre's was long. Sheesh. I mean, this has been, it feels like the last month of my life has been saying goodbye to Ben Roethlisberger, who I didn't even like anyway.
So what you're setting up is a reason to bet on the Chiefs, because you're saying the Bills are coming off this emotional win, and we all know what happens when you have an emotional win in the playoffs.
It's tough.
That sets you up for a letdown in the next round where the Chiefs barely even broke a sweat. Nobody's talking about them. They're coming in sort of as a quiet favorite here. That doesn't make me feel good that you're putting so much stock into this 47-17 blowout over a rookie quarterback. And a rookie quarterback hasn't won in the playoffs forever. This should be business as usual. Bill Belichick wouldn't even shrug after this game. And what I'm seeing is way too much put into it.
Well, that's also me, the fan. The team better be ready to go. But that one was cathartic to me. If I could have done, you know, the snow angels, whatever, drop the confetti, because it's not a dome, but you know what I mean. You spray the confetti, because that one was for the fans. Like, I think it was also for the Bills a little bit. They got humiliated on that Monday night game where the winds were so strong that the Patriots only passed three times. They got a little revenge the next time in Foxborough, but that was the day after Christmas. Nobody's really paying attention unless you're diehard Bills or Patriots. Kind of flew under the radar, even though it was one of Josh Allen's best games. And now he came out and dominated. See, the thing is about the Chiefs and why they scare me specifically is – I think that despite the fact the Bills have a really good defense, and they really do, and they've held up all year, it's legit.
Number one defense in the NFL, right?
Yeah. I mean, they don't play like the number one defense in the NFL, but they're a very good defense. Does Josh Allen have to have games like what you saw on Saturday in order for them to win? Like, I think there's other teams out there that can win a game even if their quarterback isn't amazing. Hell, I mean, we saw it yesterday with San Francisco. They don't have the same expectations as the Bills do. But there are other teams that can win even if their quarterback isn't awesome. I don't know if the Bills are one of those teams, despite the fact they have this great defense.
Like, take the model of the Bucs last year. They played the Packers in the NFC title game, and Brady went really cold in the second half.
Yeah, he did.
But they still had enough. I guess they got an early enough lead. So you're saying Josh Allen is more important, say, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers? What are we talking about here? Is this the most quarterback-dependent team among the elite teams?
I'm tempted to say that both of them are, Kansas City and Buffalo. Like, I think they mirror each other in that way. You know, like, I think that the Rams could win tonight, even if Stafford, you know, if he really has a dud, like throws three picks, it's going to be really hard. But, like, they can win even if he's not amazing tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they have Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. If they run the ball, they're a better team to start with.
Totally. So, you know, I don't want to just, like, cherry-pick a team here or there. I think maybe Green Bay is probably like that too. But I think both of these teams, yeah, if the quarterback isn't on one, like, playing amazing, I don't think they win.
Yeah.
So it's like, who's going to be better here? Is it going to be Allen or Mahomes?
Know what I noticed with Allen is in the second Patriots game, he started running.
Yeah.
And he had a run. He is faster than the defense players. He's gigantic and fast. You knew this. I knew this, but you don't see it week in and week out. As he sort of peeled back early in his career, he ran all the time.
Yeah, well, he was running early in his career because he wasn't accurate.
Yeah.
He's really worked on that. And so, yeah, the design runs. The crazy thing about him, and I'm just going to knock on wood or whatever here. What is this, Formica? I'm going to knock on that because you know what happens, like big quarterbacks who can run get out of the pocket, and then they expose themselves for hits and injuries. And so far, again, what am I knocking on here? What is this? It will have to do. I don't, you know, I feel like I'm jinxing it just even talking about this.
So you
but he's a big quarterback who so far, has not gotten hit. So not gotten hurt.
You're sending out mixed messages. It's all about the fans. Like, basically, we control what's going to happen. Everyone knows what room you're sitting on affects the outcome of the field.
No, I don't mute the screen like
you
do.
Don't laugh, because I watched you make wings this weekend. So you have superstitions, just like the rest of us fans.
Oh, yeah. When you admitted last week that you mute the TV when one of your backup quarterback, mediocre quarterback friends is playing, that you mute the TV when they're playing.
Because it makes it less stressful if I don't have to hear the announcer ripping my guy, Andy Dalton.
Yes, and if it's Troy Aikman, look out, because Troy pulls no punches.
So Jalen Hurts is one of my favorite, and I found it so painful to watch Troy just shred him apart, and I didn't even agree with half the stuff Troy was saying.
Oh, I thought Troy was on point yesterday. Well, now we're meandering here. But yes, he was just pointing out single coverage. That's why you mute. So for me, it was this Buffalo wing thing, and I appreciate the people on Twitter who gave me a really good workaround here, because we were making homemade wings last year, Buffalo wings. Great recipe, delicious. Make the homemade sauce, make the homemade blue cheese, the whole deal. So they were lucky until obviously the AFC Championship game, Bills lose to the Chiefs. It's like, oh man, the wings just ran out of magic. But now Bills are back in the playoffs. I'm like, I want to start making the wings again. So somebody on Twitter sent me a perfect thing. You can make them in the wild card round and the divisional round, but you cannot make the Wings in the AFC Championship game. And that's how you get away from the superstition. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. It saves you some labor in the kitchen. Now, tell me about this homemade blue cheese. What is? Isn't that just blue cheese? Is there something else going on?
No, like I don't buy the dip.
So how do you make homemade blue cheese?
I don't like grow the mold of the cheese. I buy the crumbled blue cheese, but then I mix then, in the mayonnaise and the garlic and all of that stuff.
I don't know if you get credit for that.
I don't.
Homemade wings is cool.
Because I didn't buy Ken's blue cheese.
Or yeah. I don't think making homemade blue cheese is a great accomplishment. The other thing, though, is I know you like to eat.
Yeah.
I think you're going to want to make wings anyway, and you're going to totally blow up your own superstition and cost the Bills, likely.
Because of the AFC Championship game?
You were so excited for those wings.
I really were
talking about them all week, and now I'm excited about them.
I said I'd make some for you. It's actually my mom's.
What are they, buffalo wings? Are they straight wings?
Yeah. Buffalo-style wings. But we grill them or bake them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You grill them on the oven or outdoor on a Traeger or something?
Outdoor.
Wow.
We bake them this week, but we grill 12 months a year. This is like, I know.
We grill
when it's like 5 degrees outside.
I might have to come over. When do the Bills play again?
They play 6:30 on Sunday. And you're welcome to come over. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Want to know what superstitions you have and do they work? Hopefully this keeps working. But here's my sort of, I don't want to say this is like a necessarily a hot take, but I think whoever wins that Bills-Chiefs game is going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a mainstream take. Yeah. I think everybody kind of thinks that. It's such a shame that they're playing now because the Titans-Bengals feels like a JV game.
Well, but unfortunately, that's not fair because I thought, you know, the Bengal game and Bengals-Raiders was such an incredible kickoff to this wild card weekend because that ended up being a tight game at the end, even though the Raiders kind of didn't really show up until the end of the game. You talk about like, you know, moral victories, and I think it might have been, you know, I'm sure a lot of emotion after they beat the Chargers and then to turn around and have to get up for it again is kind of tough. But they end up making that a game at the very end. It was super exciting, except for the ref blowing calls, which we'll get into later on in the show. But like for the Bengals, you got to be feeling amazing right now.
But you couldn't have a more wild cardy game than the Bengals and the Raiders. Neither team had won a playoff game in decades. You know, the Chiefs and the Bills are probably, I got to check the betting odds. I think, what are they, second and third? I don't know where the Bucs are, or at least two of the top four teams. Now, I understand the Titans beat both of them, correct?
They did.
So they deserve the number one, but I can't wrap my head around them being the favorite, and they're not the Vegas favorite in the AFC. So this is, you don't want to see this in the divisional round. A very, very good team is going to go out. Perhaps your Bills. I hate to say it. And now, is that a huge disappointment?
It's only Monday. I mean, really. Are we starting with,
you're the one.
You know, I'd rather have you not hide it from me. If you're going Chiefs, just tell me now.
I wasn't going Chiefs until you went all soft and wanted to roll up points on Bill Belichick because he hurt your feelings over the last 20 years.
He did.
Because they were 19-3. So
I was
what?
Like that woman in Dallas just crying for the last 20 years.
I just hope you're not crying like that. Have you ever cried at a Bills loss?
I've never cried at a Bills loss. I was too young for the Super Bowl losses, and they were really getting blown out in the last two.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. I didn't have any room.
I'll tell you when you will cry. If the Buffalo Bills win the Super Bowl this year, you think you'll be able to handle it?
Why, you cried when the Eagles won?
Oh, call your parents from the field and say, guess where I am? I'm about to cry right now. It was, I didn't even think, and I'm, you know, I've been in covering the NFL forever. I didn't think I had any emotional attachment anymore. I wept. Yeah, and know who else did? Every other Eagles fan on planet Earth. There's no, and guess what? That's you. You're going to be the Cowboys fan in the stands at SoFi if the Bills get to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, the emotions are completely unpredictable. And I understand why that lady was crying.
I hope I get the opportunity. I hope I get the opportunity. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Cowboys fans, how you feeling? We're going to get back to you in a moment. One losing QB is being unfairly shamed, though, and Andrew Perloff is having none of it. We go against the grain next. It's Perloff and Maggie on CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.